Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, my name is Owen and I'm with Marius.
Yeah, det er rigtigt. Correct. I wasn't sure if you were actually, if that was a warm-up one you just did or the real one.
This is the real one.
This is the real
I'm
one.
I'm sticking with this one.
Okay, cool.
You're listening to Cup in Copenhagen, podcast about life in Copenhagen and
yeah,
Denmark.
Yeah,
and Scandinavia.
Yeah, yeah.
And whatever else we're talking about.
Det er
I'm Owen and I'm Irish. Marius, you're from...
Jaffa, Denmark.
Yeah. And we have Abby, who's not here today, but she's from America.
Aye.
And we talk about well, we talk about a lot of things. But it's a Friday.
It's a Friday.
So we talk about the news.
Yep.
We talk about the news.
The Danish news.
The Danish news. I was going to say the news from this country.
Oh.
Or from our country. Can I call it my country as well? Can I include myself?
I think
myself?
It's lovely if you call it your country.
Oh, nice. Thank you. Thank you.
You would be wrong.
I would be wrong.
No.
I didn't shake a hand.
Yeah.
I didn't shake a hand when I and get a piece of paper. But
it's a bit like, you know, I believe in the thing. Sometimes you have to put it out in the universe, sort of what you want. And I feel like
you're... The Secret? Did you read The Secret?
Yeah, I did get
Did you read The Secret?
I got the book. I forget who gave me that book. Yeah, but I really wanted to believe in it, but the book was just so... It just looked so cheap,
It looked very cheesy. It looked very... Now, I have friends who have used it and said they got something out of it. But I remember talking to a guy and he said he had like a wish stone.
Okay.
And there's a stone you hold and you tell the stone what you want.
Yeah.
Or you wish for, I suppose.
Mm.
And then... That's
but to me, all of this is just under the placebo thing. Like,
yeah, but it's
if
like,
you believe in it enough, then sure, maybe you can manifest.
It's like,
it.
Yeah, that's it, right? And it's like, kind of like, you're not going to get shit unless you start acting upon it. And maybe just saying the words out loud is a step, right? I mean, maybe somebody who, maybe you say to the stone, I want to work with Novo Nordisk. And somebody who works with Novo Nordisk is in the room and hears you, and then they're like, "Oh, actually, we're looking for somebody in your department if you want to go."
Weird guy tugged a stone. You seem like someone we
you
should
seem
hire.
Like, we got so much money.
Yeah, we don't care.
We don't care. But but anyway, yeah,
that was
news.
A tangent.
Yeah. Give me the news.
In other news,
yeah, was that news?
I don't know if that was news. There's been so we all remember the mink gate.
Yes.
The culling of a million mink. Yeah. That's a t-shirt.
I wouldn't wear it.
Anyway, basically they shut down the whole mink industry here, right?
Yeah.
And they
not shut down, like destroyed.
Destroyed. But yeah, closed it.
Shut down. Yeah.
There was supposed to be some compensation to the mink farmers, though.
Yeah.
And the government estimated that would be around 5.2 billion kroner.
Okay.
It wasn't.
Oh.
It was a lot more.
Oh.
It was actually closer to, it ended up on 30 million. No, 30 oh. billion. 30 billion.
Okay.
So that's quite the leap.
Yeah.
Now, why did it become so much more expensive? Well, the deal with the mink farmers was that they wouldn't just get compensation for the period of corona.
They'd get like lost income for X amount of years.
Until 2030.
2030, okay.
Yeah, so all profits on sale of mink furs, you know, they would get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they might have, their sales during corona and a bit before corona weren't great. And the sort of estimates they've given on what they would sell, it's far higher, it's a lot higher. So there's some kind of discrepancy there. They've estimated with making a lot more money than they previously did.
Yeah.
So that's one reason for why it went up.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason for why it went up was that the price per... sort of they were supposed to be awarded per mink.
Yeah.
Was set at 333 kroners,
uh-huh.
which I think was Ernst & Young. Like, wait,
the price per mink was 333 kroner.
Yeah, so they have to sort of calculate what are... No, figure out how much money you get. It's sure. Per mink, right?
Right, okay, but that seems... I don't know. I would have thought a mink would have cost more.
Oh, yeah, when you buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what they're selling it for to the retailers.
Right, okay, okay.
They, of course, sell it cheaper. And then, yeah, a mink fur is probably thousands of kroner.
Yeah, okay, right.
Right? But this is also per mink, and many minks goes to one fur coat, I would assume. Mm. So, I don't know how they do the math there. anyway, so that's about, yeah, Ernst & Young, they estimated that was about 90 kroners more than what the actual price of a mink.
Per, 90 kroners per mink.
Yeah.
And millions of mink were killed.
And so. That's around 10 billion, they are
right.
Just on top there.
Right.
Calculating with there. And then there was a good old calculation error.
Oh, just carried the two?
Yeah, something. that also just, made it a lot more expensive. Yeah. So, that's great.
Wait, that's it? They got that money and we were like, oh, that was too much, but we've given it? Is that what it is?
I think they're now investigating and trying to figure out, what's happening here? Are we doing this?
I can imagine, like, the big farmers, like in a meeting and they get the digits and they're like, and one farmer in the back is like, that's a bit, and everyone's like, shut up, John.
It's nay on the minke.
shut up, John.
So, hopefully they will sort that out, so we don't overpay these mink farmers. That would be nice.
So the mink farmers are making money. Do you know who's losing money?
No, who's losing money?
People in general, due to online fraud.
Oh,
online fraud is double what it was a year ago. Well, okay, no, 2023 was double 22.
Okay.
So people are getting scammed, and older women in particular are being scammed, and it's real straightforward stuff. It's just emails, texts asking for your information, people giving information, and out of 9,127 cases last year, 3,842 actually scammers got money from it.
Oh shit!
That's so the odds are that's a lot. That's actually pretty good comeback, for the time and effort.
Yeah, no, but surely that's why they're doing it. Like, but you know, it's just they can just send them out to so many. Like,
but yeah, this is the thing about like emails and stuff like this. Like, you can just I'm sure there's websites and stuff in place where you can buy, like, illicitly buy
email addresses,
millions of email addresses, and then you just like automatically put them into a
SMSs with things like constantly. Like, I had the latest one I had was like three different attempts to some kind of a package.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, your package has been blocked in the toll, please go to this website and fill in some information.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I haven't ordered anything.
Yeah,
but you know, if you had.
According to our email, because our email, the copyingincopenhagen@gmail.com, if you want to try and scam
us.
You
want to scam us,
lots of people do, though.
That's your best scam.
If you go into our spam and our deleted emails, we have a lot of scam emails. Ooh. Like, a lot. Because our emails are, like, just on the web, like, a bunch of different websites and stuff.
Yeah.
We get a lot of people trying to, like, there's a lot of money stuck in accounts.
Ooh.
That we're meant to help them out with.
Oh.
A lot of this going on. But it's like... It's tried and trusted. A good old scam.
Mm.
Good old scam seems to still
be
doing it.
Do you think the Nigerian prince email is still being sent around?
I would say so.
Do you think it's
still? I'd say there's probably a few.
I got that one. I remember getting that one.
A Nigerian prince?
Yeah. Did you never get that?
I didn't get that one, but I had a friend in university, somebody who lived on campus with me, emailing a guy in Nigeria. And he needed an iPhone. This is back when iPhones were pretty new, right?
Wait. The guy, he was emailing a guy in Nigeria.
My friend
was
in correspondence with somebody in Nigeria.
And a real person he knew? Or?
No, just somebody they got on, like somebody emailed them, or I don't know how it started. Never met this person, right?
Fair, yeah.
And they needed an iPhone, right?
Yeah.
And like I said, this was back when iPhone was pretty new and to have an iPhone was a big deal. They came into our apartment one evening talking about it, I was like, yeah, I'm thinking about helping this guy. You know, he needs an iPhone for his business and stuff like that. And he'll pay me and stuff like that. And myself and my flatmate were like, don't just, it's a scam. Just don't communicate with this person. It's a scam. This sounds very dodgy. Don't continue this. And she was like, yeah, okay, all right. Yeah. And left it at that. And then maybe a week later, she came around to our place again for dinner or whatever. And then like kind of sheepishly, she was like, I haven't received the money. I were like, sorry, what? Oh. She's like, yeah, well, after I posted it, I never received it. She posted her phone to Nigeria.
No.
She like, not even just like being scammed for cash. She physically posted a phone. I can just imagine somebody on the other end opening the box and getting the phone and being like, holy shit, it worked.
Yeah.
Holy shit, someone sent me a phone.
But that was her personal phone.
That was her personal phone.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, well.
Yep. So it can happen to anyone. And she was doing actuarial maths. I mean, that is like...
That's, yeah, okay. Yeah, pretty, no. Yeah.
Very intelligent person. It
can hit everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah.
But there's a really straightforward statement at the end of this article on Copenhagen Post where... the authorities are saying, don't hang up and don't reply.
Yeah.
Hang up the phone. Don't reply to the messages. The police and the banks do not ask for your information. Like whatever it is, the legitimate authorities do not ask information like that online or over the phone.
Yeah.
So just ignore it. Ignore it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something I have sometimes ignored that has cost me money was checking out.
When traveling, I'm checking out.
When traveling on the metro.
Yeah.
Or other public transports.
Oh, I got a public transport. Abby's not here today, so she can't lavish in my story.
No, let's enjoy that we can talk freely about...
without Abby getting angry about MasterCard. So actually, it was last recording session we had.
Yeah.
I was getting on the metro with my bike and I tried to check in with my bike and I couldn't. I could only check in...
No, you got to use your MasterCard. You can't check in with the bike.
You get out of here. You get that out of here. You son of a bitch. I checked in extra and get that worked. Mm. And I tried to put the bike on and they're like, didn't have enough for the bike, right? So I was like, and I vocally went, fuck. And I was just like, oh, I'll just tap in, right? So I tapped in myself. So I didn't totally break the law, but like I tapped in my... I did. But I tapped in
my... My bike. It was my bike. My bike broke the law. I was fine.
Whose bike is this? No, I tapped in. And then there was somebody working for the metro came by. And then he's like, did you tap in your bike? I was like, yep. And then a metro came and stopped in front of me and I just stood there. Like, and it's not like metros go to different destinations.
No.
Like this is going Van Luza way. So they all go to Van Luza.
No.
So I just stood there with him like playing chicken. He was like, are you going to go? I'm like, oh my God. So we just waited and I waited for the next train. And then I was like, I realized I'm just here. There's nothing wrong with me standing in the metro. So I just walked down to the end of the line without making eye contact. And then I got to the next metro. And I'm like, I'm getting on this one. And I did. And he didn't follow me. So I got away with it. But it was weird. He's like, he knew I hadn't checked it.
Yeah.
He saw me verbally like blinded out of it. And then I just stood with him awkwardly for a train.
Well, it seems like he had a bit of empathy. I've done that dance, and Dave.
I think for some reason he was doing something on the at the station knock. I don't think he was going to get on it.
Was he wearing a vest?
No, but he had the classic black jacket
Okay.
they have. Uh-huh. Yeah. So he was definitely working with the metro in that capacity, but he didn't get on the train or the metro for some reason. Anyway, what are you talking about?
Well, you may know, but they're introducing the Reisekort app now.
Mm.
So you can, they can help you, remind you to check out. And I can't figure out if it's 20,000 or 2,000. It says both numbers in the...
What, that you have to have
20,000 who've had a chance to download it.
Ah, okay, right.
If they're testing it first, kind of.
Yeah.
But some information just got out that this new app...
Mm.
It tracks you, and it's something you can sort of we're used to that basically.
Sure, yeah.
With our phones,
yeah.
But normally, like in some of these where you have to get permission for it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To sort of geo tracking.
Geotag, yeah.
Whatever. You can also turn that like off. It's only when using the app, for example, or something like that, right? You can do that in most apps. You can't do that in the Reisekort app.
Oh.
It's just constantly tracking you.
Oh.
And they say that they can't not, that this is, we just have to have it like that or else it wouldn't work. Is their claim, Reisekort. But like if you have Google apps, Tesla apps, as they mentioned in this article, like you can decide when.
Yeah.
So it's weird that they couldn't.
No. And like if you.
In this Reisekort app.
If the exact same procedure can be carried out with a small piece of plastic in your pocket with no tracking information, I find it hard to believe that you need tracking information for an app. You know what I mean?
Well, it's supposedly this exactly with this idea about, well, it's so it can help you remember get off, because if you close the app or something, then it still tracks you. So when you, it will still give you this reminder of, hey, you haven't checked out, for example. So it's something to, that's kind of where they're arguing that that's why they can't do it.
Sure, okay.
It sounds a little convenient, but that means that it's there's so much sensitive data because you know now it's tracking you constantly. So it's not just your public transport. It's where you shop.
Yeah.
It's if you have a lover.
Yeah.
It's everything. Yeah. Right? Your work, your hobby. They mentioned lovers in this.
Right.
Article.
I was going. That's okay. Right. Sure. Yeah.
So yeah. It's kind of a sensitive data that, and I don't know, we have spoken about how like scams or, you know, hackers and sort of this kind of more like digital warfare, like if they're not digital, but yeah, digital war, cyber war kind of, right? With all this potential information floating around, and I don't know if I trust their, it has been mentioned and systems and softwares have been hacked here in Denmark recently.
Yeah, yeah.
There's been stories about that. Mm-hmm. And we don't have the greatest IT infrastructure.
Security. Yeah.
So a little something to be considerate about if you want the app.
Sure. I'm sure there's definitely going to be people who like don't care.
Oh, yeah.
And that's fair.
I mean, the other side of that is...
You'll never get lost because the app will tell you where you are.
That? And am I not just constantly being tracked anyway?
I mean...
And with all my information and wherever the fuck I go?
Yeah.
I don't know if I actually trust that Google isn't constantly tracking me.
No?
No, I think they are.
Funny. Marius.
Facebook
Marius's tinfoil hat corner.
Yeah. Oh, could I get that corner?
You can absolutely could have that corner. That corner. Oh, of course, it's our show.
Oh. Yay.
That's okay.
To look forward to.
Well, that's just an that, you know what that is. That's just more ammunition for Abby to hate Reisekort.
Yep,
that's all that is. So, if anyone is listening to Monday's episode, you will know that I opened a conversation about Netto and my love hate relationship with the system in Netto.
The supermarket, not the.
Yeah, no. The North Atlantic Treaty. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. No. Yeah, the other one. Where's my phone? It's in the other room. I have a photo I wanted to show you. Okay. So the other, when we were describing Netto, some of the things we were using to describe it was the fact that you can go in there and you can. Often find things missing, like they'll be out of bananas, or they don't have this product anymore. And the other night, I was in a gluttonous mood.
Ooh.
I was being heathenistic.
Ooh.
I had some wine with dinner.
Oh, how bohemian, sir!
I know. And I was like, I want ice cream.
Yeah.
I crave ice cream, therefore I shall have. So I hopped on my bike and cycled up to my local Netto.
So I clapped.
Yeah, I clapped.
Nothing happened.
And nothing happened. So I went and spent my hard-earned money on shitty food that's going to make me unhealthy.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to go to the shop. So I cycled up to my local Netto and Hang on. Talk to the audience for a minute. I need to show you the photo.
Okay. Keep going. Owen is now going into the room adjacent is the good word, adjacent to the studio. This is where we have a whiteboard, and would you believe it? We actually sometimes write down things on that whiteboard to kind of make a program for the program. So Owen is just in there right now looking for his phone. I'm just stalling for time. Now he's scrolling on his phone, trying to find an image that he would like to show me.
So I go into, I'm sure, okay, I think everyone can hear me. So I go into Netto looking specifically for ice cream, and this is what I come by.
Owen has now shown me a picture, an image of a completely empty freezer box, like a giant freezer box in
which
Netto.
Says ice on it, specifically for ice cream. So
aww.
I thought it was the universe, and we wrote to Netto as well. We sent that email.
Yep.
But I just
haven't replied yet.
Funny enough. Yeah. To know what we're talking. If you don't know what we're talking about, I haven't listened to last Monday's episode. Anyway, that was a stepping stone to the next story I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Kim's Crisps.
Yeah.
K-I-M.
Kim's, yeah.
Kim's Crisps are in trouble.
Uh-oh.
There's been a little war, crisp war going on.
Oh.
And there's casualties might be Kim's. And it's been happening under our noses without us even knowing, unless we're young.
Okay.
So if you go into said...
Clearly not.
Yeah. If you've gone into said Netto or probably any place that sell Kim's, I have noticed this, that the Kim's packaging has been like kind of mental looking at the moment. It's like some very peculiar images. Mental. Yeah, sorry.
It's like a picture of Sigmund Freud smoking a pipe.
Yeah. I wish it was, but no.
Jungian dream landscape on it.
Here's a. Yeah, you read books, Barry.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Those kind of images.
Yeah,
that is
kind of mental. Yeah,
yeah,
so, a lot of colors and
yeah, little faces and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and I've noticed them being like, huh, whatever. Colors, it turns out so there's influencers coming up with flavors for crisps, and it's like who's got the best flavor, right? That's the gimmicky thing with the images of the people on the crisps and everything. And now the Danish Industrial Forum for Food Advertising has come in and said you got to stop doing this because it's been recognized that it's advertising specifically for children.
Yeah.
Right. Which isn't allowed. So here's conduct for food advertising. Number one, which they're breaking. DI Food, together with the media industry and centers of food advertisements, has formed the Forum for Food Advertisements with the aim of maintaining... this is translated from Danish, so it could be wrong. Maintaining a voluntary code so that food with high content of sugar, fat, salt are not advertised in media aimed at children. Right?
Yeah.
And another one saying food with high content of sugar, fat and salt may not be marketed in media or part of media aimed at children. So it's about saying that, like, so the idea is like these influencers who are on the packaging and like involved are their majority audience
are
young people, children. And that by putting them on it, you're automatically advertising to young people, right?
Yeah.
To this, I say bullshit, because I think a lot of the advertising on this stuff is going for kids anyway.
What do you mean? Is that a lot of the packaging or like?
Yeah, I think like the whole color and brightness and like okay, fair enough. I suppose it's. All right, not bullshit in the sense of like, sure, okay, all right. I step back. I take back my comments. Okay. I redact my last statement. Oh. I can see why they're saying like it's advertising specifically for children because it's media surrounded.
Is it because it's using those influencers' faces directly on the packaging?
And I presume the influencers themselves are involved. So their out media would be used.
It reminds me, I did read about this a while ago. Yeah, yeah. And I think the influencers were out saying, well, yeah, but I also have a plus, like people who are 20 and above watching.
Yeah, yeah, show. And
or they've grown up with me. Now
but I just found it interesting because packaging for sugar and salty things generally are bright and colourful,
yeah,
and eye-catching and orientated.
Like, isn't Haribo, right? Like, directing?
Yeah, or like, I mean, I I'm just wondering. I suppose it comes down to the, like,
Coca-Cola, the, like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, red, maybe, okay, the Danish industry forum for food advertising, maybe they only... Because Haribo's not Danish, right?
No, it's German.
Yeah. Is it German?
Yeah.
Haribo's German, Coca-Cola's American, all these things. Kim's is is Danish.
Yes.
Right? So maybe it's because it's a Danish product can't do. So, but it's just like...
But surely also, like, they can't just say you can't use bright coloring, like, when it has too much sugar in it.
Like. No, no, because that's, like, this... It's... No. This is where I get confused. Like, not confused, because I see the direct connection with this, where you can make a connection of, like, this is advertising for children.
Mm.
But I'm just saying, I think that... The majority of packaging is orientated to youth anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Or uses, like, in general, like, bright colors to attract the eye, right?
Yes.
Unless you want it to have this, like, organic or rustic look.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. Which also has, like, a whole thing that you go for now, right?
There's
you walk into a shop and you know the, like, ooh, this is good for you looking package.
Yeah, yeah,
you
know? Yeah, yeah.
And it's just packaging.
Yeah.
Power of marketing, man.
Yeah.
No, Power of marketing.
It's so true.
Anyway, that's that.
Let's end the show on a little story.
Okay. Tell me a tale.
This is the tale about the largest treasure found in Denmark.
Ooh.
It was found in a little local society in Jelling,
mm-hmm.
by two childhood friends.
Oh.
One day, Ole Ginnerup Schulz and Jørgen Antonsen, on a December day 2020. They were walking on the farm on a field in Vinderlev, and they had no idea that this walk was going to change their lives.
Ooh.
Yes, because Jan, I believe, Ole,
mm-hmm.
he had a metal detector.
Okay,
so he was out walking on Jan's field.
Okay,
it starts beeping.
Oh,
and. It turns out they found, like, a really big treasure.
Uh-huh.
And
what?
Yeah, it's like a gold treasure.
Even. What?
Yes. It
what
has,
is this, the Goonies?
It had 795 grams of gold. Some of it is, like, old Roman medallions, sort of from the 300 BC.
Mm-hmm.
Not BC, no. After Christ. And it had some large Nordic gold medallions and stuff like that. Mm. So a lot of, like, really nice treasure.
Yeah.
Right? And they're really excited about this. But the reason why they're making a documentary is not so much about the find.
Mm.
But it's also kind of the aftermath.
Oh.
First of all, they had to, for I think almost a year. It took a long time before they could talk about it. I don't actually know why they couldn't talk about it. Maybe to keep it a secret and mm-hmm. have no one else come, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But before archaeologists would come and really properly dig it out and excavate it. So they had to keep it a secret for a long time. When it finally got out, only one of them, the guy with the metal detector, got all the credit for it.
Oh.
And that made... You know, it made Jan a little bit
bit sad.
This I was also there that day.
Yeah.
I also won a little bit of the limelight.
Yeah.
Cause they'd agreed to split the earnings.
That's a friendship.
That's a good friendship.
Yeah.
But not the fame. Yes. So that's what the documentary is gonna be about.
And we're doing our part. We're doing our part. We said both names.
Yeah. I just thought it was like a cute, very Danish story.
That's
and
great
I could totally see how they're like, this is going to be a documentary.
Yeah.
Then the film is going to come.
Yeah.
It's going to be, stupid mess. Miguel is probably going to be Jan or one of them. Yeah. So I just thought it was still a cute little story.
That's nice. That's it for today's show.
What's the moral of this show?
There's always gold. There's always gold under your feet somewhere.
But friendship is more valuable.
Damn it, that's better. Gold can come and go, but friendship's there forever.
Oh.
There you go, that's better. All right, see you Monday.
Stay
coping.
Woo!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.